journey, where most of that journey he traveled in South Galatia. Okay, Paul and Barnabas planted many churches there in South Galatia, but they had much trouble from place to place with people who wanted to stone them, who wanted to kill them. We read that in Acts chapter 13 and 14. They wanted to kill them because they were saying that they weren't preaching a correct gospel and that they were jealous of them because many people were coming to this gospel. So Paul, he shed his blood so that the people in Galatia may know Jesus. He shed his own blood for the gospel's sake, that people would know Jesus Christ, know Him. Paul was truly dedicated to the gospel and keeping that one and only true gospel, the center of the churches in Galatia. So, when we walk through verses 1 through 9, we discovered that true gospel, that Jesus, He died for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's turn to Galatians and let's be reminded in that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Jesus gave Himself freely. He gave Himself for our sins. But why? To rescue. We need Jesus. Not just for salvation. We need Him for salvation, for justification. But we need Him for sanctification. We need Him for life. We cannot just come to Jesus for justification and think that we can live without Him through our life. You can't. It's impossible. You need Jesus every second, every waking moment of your life. You need Him. His grace is enough to live. His grace is enough. So we understand that true gospel, it's enough to motivate, to live a life of obedience to Jesus. That gospel is good enough to live for Jesus, to follow Jesus. So, the moment we trust our good works, the moment we trust our self-righteousness and try to move or add on to the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His life, His resurrection for salvation, we go to a false gospel. And we go to a false God. Because that is not the gospel. The gospel isn't Jesus plus our good works. God is not pleased with just a bunch of good works from you. He's pleased with His Son, Jesus. That's who He's pleased with. And the only way He's pleased with you is that you're in Christ. You are in Christ. That is your position as a Christian. That is your position as a follower of Jesus. You are in Him. And it is written all throughout the New Testament. You are in Jesus. We have to understand what that truly means to be in Christ. To have a position in Him. It changes us. It moves us. It creates something new within us. That we live for Jesus in a new way. Because we're not living for ourselves, and we're not living in ourselves, but we're living in Christ. And when we understand what in Christ truly means, and we truly grasp it, and we truly believe it, we will live obedient lives for Jesus. And Jesus alone will be glorified, because it is in Christ. It has nothing to do with us. And Jesus' name will be lifted up. His name will be exalted. Because when people say, why do you live like that? Why do you abandon everything? It's in Christ. It's Jesus. And that's what Paul did. He said it's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. This gospel of grace is the only gospel that has the power to bring life and sustain life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this gospel of grace is enough to sustain you in your life, in your walk with Christ. We get tired. We get weary. We try to live this life for Jesus. But we have to turn back to that gospel of grace. We can't just keep trying harder to be better, to live better for Jesus, to not do these things or to do those things and make a list and check them off, go to church, listen to Christian music, whatever your list is. Go back to Jesus. He's enough. He really is enough. So, do you believe in this grace? Have you experienced His grace? Paul speaks of his experience. He speaks of his experience in these next few verses. Chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. Let's go there. If you have your digital device, go to that. If you have your word right here, just go to it. Chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. Let's read. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Let me go back. Verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, who is Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Paul has a former life. He had a previous life. He spoke of God's grace through Jesus. And we're going to look at that. But first, let's look at verse 10. He said, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? Are you a people pleaser? We all are like that. It's in us. It's pride in us. We want to please people. We want to. You feel like you have to win or seek that approval of people? The gospel changes that. It really does. It changes us because it produces confidence and fearless followers of Jesus who will follow without any concern of the approval of others. You cannot be a people pleaser and a servant of Jesus. You can't have two masters. There's only one. His name is Jesus. You can't love money in Jesus. You can't have two masters. You can't. So we must not fear man, because man is not our master. This word fear doesn't just mean to tremble or to be scared, but it also has a meaning of being in awe or give importance to someone who you feel that has a sense of worth. We don't want to diminish the worth of people. They're made in the image of God. But when you put that kind of worth and that kind of glory and that kind of weight on people, you're becoming a people pleaser. And you're not being a servant of Christ. You're serving people. You can serve people, but as a servant of Christ. The moment we turn to serving people as our God and putting that type of worth on them, it's a dangerous place to be. The gospel brings us a clear understanding of our position. The gospel, it completely destroys seeking man's approval by freeing us to motivate to live for Jesus. It produces good servants of Christ. We don't long to obey God because that's what saves us or gets approval, but we obey Him because He first loved us. Remember that. You didn't first love God. He first loved us. That's in 1 John. He loved us first. Our obedience is rooted in the love of Jesus. It's rooted in the gospel. And so was Paul's obedience. And that's what he talks about in verses 11 through 24. We see that he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. It's not from human origin. Paul wants the churches to know that this gospel isn't man-made. Man couldn't even come up with this gospel. There's no way. This is only God's gospel. This is His. Paul didn't create this, nor did any man. He also didn't receive it from any man. He received it from Jesus. He says, I received it by revelation from Jesus. That gives some pretty good authority for Paul. When you receive something from Jesus, a message of revelation of the gospel, that's way higher authority than anything else when it comes from Jesus. So why was he so concerned about letting them know he didn't receive it from anybody else? Why? Because he wanted them to know that this is the only true gospel. People are coming in, they're saying, look, Paul's version wasn't authentic or real. You have to add to Paul's version to get the true version of the gospel. To really be a follower of Christ, you have to add to this gospel that Paul is talking about. But Paul completely destroys that theory by giving his testimony. His testimony is powerful. Not because he was a previous Judaizer, but because of the grace of God. Your testimony is powerful too. Not because of your past. Your past does make it more powerful, but it's His grace. It's His grace that makes it powerful. We have to learn to speak our testimony. We have to learn to tell of God's grace in our lives. Not just the moment that we were saved, although that's very important, but His grace through daily life. He's gracious. He's so good. Have you experienced His grace throughout this week? I want to challenge you to think about that. His grace isn't only for that moment, but it's for life. Can you experience His grace? He is so gracious. He's been so gracious to me and my family. It's so good to look back and see even His grace, to remember what He's done. And that's what Paul's doing. Paul's just looking back and saying, man, if y'all only knew the grace of God, and how if you go to anything else, if you go to any other thing besides Jesus and His grace, it destroys the gospel and it makes it void. So, let's look at Acts chapter 9, where Paul is called, where Paul is knocked off his horse, and Jesus comes in and calls him. Acts chapter 9. Turn there with me. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was his name before he met Jesus. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Okay, let's look at that. Jesus says, "Why do you persecute me?" Who was he persecuting? He was persecuting the church. And then he says, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Do you see how we're in Christ? He even calls his church himself, the body. That's not a cliche. We are the body. That is truth. That is our position. We are in Christ. We are the church. And Jesus establishes that. And he tells Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" So he said, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul there were speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see nothing. He could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias, Lord." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." You can understand why Ananias may be a little scared, and he doesn't really want to go to Saul, the persecutor. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. So, we do see Paul in Acts. He sees Jesus. This is the truth about what Paul has experienced. And there's many people who can claim who saw this. They saw his eyes like scales come off so he can have sight again. So, Paul starts to get into his testimony in verse 13. It says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it." He sought God, but through the wrong avenue. He sought God. He sought God in religion and obeying rules and rituals. He was devoted to his religion. That he even persecuted Christians trying to destroy the church. He even killed Christians. Paul was completely and totally against this Jesus of grace. His whole life he worked so hard. He worked so hard to be pleasing to God. And all of a sudden this man named Jesus comes in here. And he says, it's only through Jesus that you can be pleasing to God. that hurts his pride big time. Because his whole life, he thought he could please God and be pleasing to God and have approval from God by the way he lived. But when Jesus came into the picture, he didn't want to hear it. So he tried to destroy the church. But you can't destroy the church. You can't destroy what Jesus has started. It's his. So Jesus called him by his grace. And the only thing that can break that barrier of Paul's self-righteousness in religion is the gospel of grace. That's why in verse 15 it says, "But when God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son to me." It is only by his grace that he moved from all these traditions. He understood the grace. But what's even more amazing, he was called long before. This wasn't something that he was like, oh, God was like, Paul, that'd be a pretty good guy. He knew before. He knew before. That's why it says, "But when God who set me apart from my mother's womb, he called me." It's good to look back. It's so good to look back at your previous life and see where God has brought you. It's good to say, man, this is what God brought me from. And this is what God is calling me to. And that's what Paul is doing. He's looking back and he's saying, I was called long before. I mean, it is complete opposites. A man who persecuted the church, and now a man who wrote more than half of the New Testament, who is planting churches in tons and tons of places. His whole goal in life was to spread the gospel of Jesus. I mean, do you see how opposite that is? There can only be one explanation. This is grace. There's no point where you're too good to need God's grace. Paul thought he was, but even he needed it. He said he was zealous. He was, verse 14, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for my traditions of my fathers." He was way better than us, let's just say that, at keeping the law. In Philippians, he talks about, "I was blameless before the law." Who can say that? Nobody. You know, so he really tried to follow the law with perfection. But he understood that he needed God's grace. And even on the other side, you can go to the point of persecuting the church itself. He thought he was doing something good, but he was doing something really, really horrible. Something that none of us probably have ever done. Persecute the church. You're not too far gone. His grace even reaches us no matter how far we are. We can be running the opposite direction, just like Paul was, but his grace calls us out. His goodness, his love, his mercy. And it's only by revelation. It's only him who reveals that. It's only the Spirit who reveals the sin in us that we may see Jesus clearly. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced his grace? No matter how good you think you are, no matter how bad you think you've gone astray, how far you think you've been. Paul, his testimony, our testimonies who are here that love Jesus, that follow Jesus, our testimonies prove that his grace reaches both ends of the spectrum. You're not too far and you're not good enough. Nobody is. We need his grace. So we see Paul have a former life of pride and sin, that he was destroying the church, but Jesus in his grace gave him a completely new life. He has a new life now. Do you still have that old life? Do you still live in the old life? Do you still struggle with your old life? We all do. We all struggle with our old life. We even go back to it sometimes and have a pity party in shame. Say, I was that person. God can't be pleased with me. But we have to trust the work of Jesus. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's right behind Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone away. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I love this verse. Verse 21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. You are new. Only because of Jesus. God made Him who knew no sin. He lived a perfect life. He died a death you deserved and I deserved. And now He lives again, that we may live in Him. See, the resurrection is everything. Without His resurrection, we have no life. We're just dead. But because of the resurrection, because He conquered sin and death, and He lived that perfect life, He can give us that righteousness and take away our unrighteousness. Amen? So in Christ, you're new. That's why He talks about that, where He says, we now have a ministry of reconciliation. You understand that you are part of renewing the earth as the church. You are part of that reconciliation, a part of that cure. Jesus has cured our sins. He has renewed us. He has made us new. But you are a part of that reconciliation. You are part of renewing. You are part of bringing peace. You are the church. You have a new life. Your old life is gone. And the new is here. Church, live in it. Live in Christ. If you haven't figured out what it means to be in Christ, I beg you to go read His Word. It is all throughout His Word what it means to be in Christ. Search, seek, read it yourself. Understand what it means to truly be in that position where you're only in Christ. You see, Paul, he sought the traditions of his fathers. We see that happening a lot today, where we just seek traditions. Well, we used to do that. We used to do that. But that's good because our fathers did that. Grace of Jesus destroyed that. And you can follow Jesus freely without the burden of traditions and rules and rituals. Whatever those may be. It's probably not what was going on in Galatians, in the Galatia. We weren't probably doing that. We're not going to be doing that. You know, we're not worried about circumcision as much as they were. But we do struggle. We struggle with that idea of adding to the gospel. because we want to be good enough for God. Just trust the goodness of Jesus. Trust His work. So don't trust traditions. That's why Paul is fighting so hard. That's why Paul is giving his testimony. He said, I fought for those traditions. I killed people for those traditions. And he thought he was being righteous in it. But it was a self-righteousness. And it wasn't good. Because he wasn't trusting the grace of God through Jesus. He's experienced the satisfaction of Jesus. The only satisfaction that can come from Jesus. He tried to be satisfied with pleasing people, with doing all these things so people could see him, he could boast about him, he could have some pride. I was better than all. I was better than these people. But when he came to know Jesus, he realized his position. We can only trust that one true gospel to live for Christ, to follow Jesus. As the band comes up, I want you to think about that. Do you live in the grace of Christ daily? I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not saying you have to, it's going to be easy to do that. It's not going to be hard. It is going to be hard. It is going to be hard to follow Jesus, completely reminding yourself of that gospel every day. You have to preach the gospel to yourself every day. I do that. I find myself weed eating, cutting grass, and I just remind myself of the gospel. It's good. He wants you to. But church, we have to remind each other that as well. We have to remind ourselves, teach ourselves the gospel daily. We have to communicate with each other. Talk about our hard days. Talk about our good days. Talk about our struggle to live for Christ. We have to talk. We have to communicate. We have to be in friendship and fellowship. So, here's my question to you this morning. Have you been living in your self-righteousness? Have you been living for yourself? Have you been living for others? Or are you a servant of Christ? The one who called you out of your darkness and into His marvelous light. The one who called you from your previous life and gave you a new life. He's the only one who could give us the strength, the power, the love, the comfort to live a life of obedience to Jesus and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You're a God who